This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا ثم وقلوبا غلفا فاللهم اجزه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استن بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly, He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His servant and His messenger. 4 years ago, on January 29th, just like most other nights, there were men and women across Canada on that day going to their masjid, their local masjid, to pray. And after the prayer finished, most of the people in this particular masjid, in this particular mosque, they left. Some stayed back for a few minutes to speak with their friends. One man had left, but then he realized he forgot something. So he came to give his friend. So he came back to give it to his friend. And some people stayed extra in the masjid, a little more time, to pray a little bit extra. And at that point, a man walked into the mosque not wanting to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not wanting to prostrate to Allah, not wanting to churn in humility and in devotion to God, not hoping to understand himself. Instead, he entered full of anger and hatred and rage. And he came in with a gun and he started shooting. And there was, as often in our masajid, at least prior to COVID, there were some kids in the masjid. There was a 7-year-old girl who was in the masjid and her father was the one leading prayers. And she saw her father getting shot in the back. And all the other men in the masjid jumped on the girl so that if he shot at her, the bullets would hit him and not hit her. In this situation, and in the aftermath of this situation, where blood was spilt on the carpets and bullets entering the bodies of 6 men who ended up dying, we realize that this man entered full of so much hatred that he read online, hatred that he heard on the radio, hatred that he heard from politicians. And he translated all of that hatred into those bullets and into that gun. And at the time, 4 years ago, there were many people who looked at it like it's just an isolated situation. It's just an isolated incident. This person is just an aberration. This incident is just out of the norm, but like crazy things happen every day. But we knew that this was real. And we knew that it wasn't isolated. And it was only 2 years later that a man in Christchurch in New Zealand attacked 2 mosques, killing over 50 people, including young children, aiming to shoot at young children, writing in his manifesto that he intended to kill even the young children and even the pregnant women, and writing on his gun the name of the man who killed people in Quebec. That same man in Quebec, when he was arrested, he said, "I wish I had killed more." So another man pays homage to him and kills even more. And even this past summer, one of the masajid, the IMO masjid in Toronto, is a caretaker of the masjid, someone who takes care of the masjid, who cleans the masjid, who fixes things around the masjid, who volunteers around the masjid, who's sitting outside of the masjid to make sure that when people come into the masjid, they're following the rules of COVID and wearing a mask and all these things. And a man comes behind him and stabs him and kills him. A man who is connected to certain neo-Nazi groups. So it wasn't isolated. And it happened and happened again. How do we as Muslims understand what happened? Not only from a political level or a social level, but even from a religious, spiritual level. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, أَحَسَبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Allah says, did people think that they would be left to say we believe and that they wouldn't be tested? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us in our life, test us with difficulty and hardship to see the strength of that belief that we say that we have. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah says, did you think you would enter paradise while God has not made clear, made evident, those who will struggle in His cause and those who are steadfast? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us tests on purpose. He wants us to realize that what we are holding on to is valuable. After that day in Quebec, another friend of mine who's an imam in another masjid, he mentioned something to me which was true for me as well. When I stand to give the khutbah, the door's in front of me. People are sitting facing me. In the weeks after Quebec and in the weeks after Christchurch, anytime somebody would walk into the door, everybody's head would turn. And look, who's this man entering the door? Do we trust him? Do we not trust him? I could feel the fear and the hesitancy in everybody sitting in the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us with these incidents. Maybe the wisdom of this test, or part of the wisdom of this test, is that you have to start wondering, why am I in the masjid? Why am I here? Why am I worshiping Allah? Something you took for granted before, now because you're thinking about this added dimension that I'm not even safe in this place that I took for granted that I'd be safe in, it makes you ask yourself why you're here. And Allah tests us to see whether we'll say, it's valuable for me to be here. I'm happy to be here. I don't care about the risks of being here. Because being here is something that's important to me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us in His sunnah, in the laws of God, that those who are going to walk the path of righteousness, the path of truth, are always going to have enemies. From the moment our father, Adam alayhi salam, was created, he had an enemy. The enemy of Iblis, Shaytan. And every prophet who came found themselves facing oppositions, facing different wars. They could have been physical wars, or psychological, or social, or information wars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُ نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, that they want to extinguish the light of Allah with their mouths. That they wanted to spread misinformation and hatred in order to turn people away from the prophets and turn them away from a call to truth and guidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to take lessons from the stories of the prophets. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِيُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in the stories, in their stories is a lesson for those of understanding. Look at our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the path that he walked in his life. Think about our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calling the people to what will benefit them, calling them to Tawheed, calling them to worship Allah alone, calling them to the oneness of God, calling them to truth and to justice and to mercy. And look at the calamities that he encountered in his life. Look at our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going to the masjid to pray, going to the Kaaba to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like those men did in Quebec. And what happened on that one day that he was there? Even though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never abused Quraysh, he never abused the non-Muslims around him, he never cursed their idols, how can he do so? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهُ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Allah says, don't curse the things that they worship other than Allah. Why? Because if you do so, they might curse Allah. Now subhanAllah, think about the logic in this verse that Allah gives us. Don't curse the things that they are worshipping besides Allah. Why? Because if we do that, if we curse the things that they worship, the idols and the stones that they worship, they might retaliate by cursing Allah. Now if they curse Allah, does that hurt Allah? Of course not. But if they curse Allah, it hurts them. We want good even for our enemies. We want even our enemies to turn to the truth, to turn to righteousness. We want our enemies to avoid cursing Allah and incurring His wrath and His anger. Our Prophet ﷺ never cursed their gods. And yet while he is prostrating peacefully to his God, some of the people in Quraysh say, who can bring the carcass of a dead camel and throw it on him while he's praying? And one of them, the worst of them, goes and grabs the intestine, the carcass, the entrails of a dead camel, dragging it, imagine in his expensive clothing, dragging it till he brings it to the Prophet ﷺ, who's in sujood, who's prostrating, and throws it on the head of the Prophet. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stays there while the blood is rushing down his face, and they're laughing at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and nobody can intervene. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, لو كانت لي منعة, he said, if I even had just a small group that can protect me, I would have stepped in and helped the Prophet. He said, but he knows if he steps in, they're going to kill him. And it was only until someone told Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she comes running and pushes this off the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of this for what? Because he wanted to worship Allah in a mosque. Think of the man who came behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and grabbed his robe and began to strangle him from behind, telling him, "Anta alladhi taz'amu annaka nabiy," you are the one who thinks that you're a prophet. And despite all this persecution and abuse, it didn't deter our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his path. It didn't make him be quiet and silent from the truth sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it wasn't only physical attacks and abuse, even psychological or social. They intimidated the husbands of the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and bribed them to divorce his daughters. They boycotted him, refused to sell him and the Muslims food and even water. And yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam persevered. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept calling people to Allah. And subhanallah, a verse in the Quran, وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا تَكْفُرُونَ وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُوا سَوَاءً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes gives us insight into the motivation of some of the people who are so hateful in their attacks on others, that he says, they wish that you disbelieve like them so that you would be equal. Sometimes when a person is on a certain moral standard and they see you on a different moral standard, it's not just that they can't take that you're on a different moral standard. They want to bring you down to their level. They want you to hate them as much as they hate you. They want to churn you into what they are, rather than improving themselves and churning themselves into what we are, or what we want to be. And so they want to bring you down to the level that they're at. SubhanAllah, when we really think about it, while we think about Islamophobia today, a lot of us think about it as something modern, something new, uses the internet, misinformation. But it's really the same that it's always been. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when he's talking to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells him, كَذَلِكَ مَا أَتَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا قَالُوا سَاحِرٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونٌ. Allah says, similarly, there has never come a prophet before except people said about him that he was a magician or a madman. Then Allah says, أَتَوَاصَوْا بِهِ. Did they suggest it to them? This is a rhetorical question in the Qur'an. Allah is asking, did the enemies of the prior prophets suggest to the enemies of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what to say? Meaning, did the enemies of Musa, did Fir'aun, suggest to the enemies of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl, what to say and what to do? Obviously not, they're separated by hundreds of years, if not thousands. It's a rhetorical question because Allah is saying they are following the exact same methods that they may have well been advising each other. And if you really think about it, what they said to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is almost identical to what they say to us today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, what did they say to Prophet Lut alayhi salam? أخرجوا آل لوط من قريتكم إنهم أناس يتطهرون. Throw out, banish, deport, get rid of the family of Lut from your village. And this is exactly what they say about us today. Deport them, get rid of them, send them back to where they came from. Go back to your country is the most common thing we hear from them. It's the same rapid intolerance they showed Lut alayhi salam and the other prophets. And then they said, إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. They are people who purify themselves. Why does it upset you that someone purifies themselves? Like, why does it upset them sometimes when we say, I don't drink alcohol? Some people say, okay, you don't drink, I drink, you don't drink, that's fine. But some people are upset by it. Why does it upset them that a Muslim woman wears hijab? She says, I care about modesty. This is something that's valuable to me. Why does it anger them? Why do they hate this? Allah tells you, إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. They accuse the family of Lut that they want to be pure. Why do they want to be pure? It upset them. So how similar are the claims of yesterday to the claims of today? Look at Prophet Nuh عليه السلام. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلُنَا وَمَا نَرَاكَ تَبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَاذِلُنَا بَادِيَ الرَّأْيِ. That the elite people, the wealthy people
the powerful people amongst those who disbelieved, they said to the people, to Nuh alayhi salam, we don't see you except as a man like ourselves, meaning we don't see you as a prophet. وَمَا نَرَاكَ
اتَّبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَاذِلُنَا بَادِيَ الرَّأْيِ.
We don't see your followers except as those who are the worst, who are the most simple, who are the lowest, at first suggestion. Meaning they only followed you because they are so simple in their mentality that they followed you. And a lot of people will claim the same things. They'll say, look, Muslims are two types. Muslims are two types. Either they are evil, or they are just so simple and stupid and they don't really understand anything. That's why they're just following without even thinking. Their mullahs tell them what to do and then they just follow it without even thinking. Because they are the enlightened ones and we are the stupid sheep that don't know what to follow. It's the same claim then that they said to Nuh that they say to us today. And what they said before that, they said, وَمَا نَرَى لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْلٍ. They say after this, وَمَا نَرَى عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلٍ. We don't see that you have any merit over us. We don't see that there's any merit to you. You know, today it doesn't matter. You can have a masjid full of lawyers and doctors and, you know, people who are in every facet of life, from city planners to engineers to architects, people who have helped society advance in every measurable way, sitting in the masjid. And they'll still push out propaganda saying these Muslims don't do anything. They don't contribute anything. They just take and they don't give. And they're all on welfare. And none of them give anything for our society. وَمَا نَرَى لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْلٍ. We don't see that you have any merit over us. What they said to Nuh, they say to us today. What they say to Musa alayhi salam, to Moses, Fir'aun said, فَقَالُوا إِنْ هَذَانِ لَسَاحِرَانِ يُرِيدَانِ أَنْ يُخْرِجَاكُمْ مِنْ أَرْضِكُمْ بِسِحْرِهِمَا وَيَذْهَبَا بِطَرِيقَتِكُمْ الْمُثْلَى. They said, these are two magicians, they want to drive you out of their land with their magic, and they want to do away with your most exemplary way of life. Two things, they're calling them a magician. The magician's the one who hides something, right? They're hiding what they're really doing. And so they say about Muslims, you guys are all hiding your beliefs. You all believe in taqiyya. You hide your beliefs. You hide what you really believe in. It's really the same claim they made before. And then he says, وَيَذْهَبَا بِطَرِيقَتُكُمْ مُثْلًا. They want to get rid of your way of life. These Muslims are coming to take over your democracy. They're going to take over your country. They're going to take over everything. 3% of the population are going to take over the rest of the 97%. It logically makes no sense. Musa alayhi salam and his followers were so few. But it was the same claim they made then, but the same claim they make today. مَا يُقَالُ لَكَ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ قِيلَ لِلرُّسْلِ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. What was, nothing has been said to you except which has been said to the messengers before you. But we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His aid and His support is a support that comes to the believers. وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah, just like it's the rule of Allah that there's going to be opposition, just like it is the rule of Allah there's going to be hardship, there's going to be difficulty, the rule of Allah is His support, His victory will be there for the believers so long as we follow the path of the prophets. حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِّبُوا جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, until the messengers despaired and were certain that they had been denied, then the victory of Allah came to them. When they despaired, not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they despaired from the people, they lost hope in the people, and that the people were all against them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until they reached that moment of hardship and pain and despair, and they thought there was no physical way for success, Allah sent them the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should have heart in the fact that the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be there for us. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لِي وَلَكُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ لَغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. In the midst of that massacre that happened in Quebec City, there were some amazing scenes of bravery. We mentioned how the men threw themselves over the little girl so that they could absorb the bullets rather than her. How some of the men ran at the gunman, knowing that they probably would die, but they tried to rush him to save the lives of others. It made amazing scenes of bravery and courage. The tests that we face in our lives, sometimes they are tests that bring out the best of us. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ, in the famous hadith, he said, you are being hasty. The victory will come, but you're being hasty. Going through the hardship, going through the test, is necessary for us to be better, as a community to be better. And so, when we think of the hardships that we've endured, and continue to endure, we have to be optimistic in knowing that going through these hardships could be a good thing. Going through these hardships could be a benefit for us. They could strengthen us, they could aid us. And that's something that we should be aware of. And when we think of the bigger question, who was to blame for what happened in Quebec? And this is a broad question for us to think about. Because it's easy to blame, obviously, the one who killed them. And we can blame the broader society. But to a certain level, we have to think about our own actions, our own contributions. And this is a difficult question to think about. I don't want to blame the victims, and our community has been victimized. But it's something for us to think about. I know personally, before Quebec, I used to be afraid to speak sometimes. I used to say, well, if I speak too much, they're going to call me a radical. They're going to call me an extremist. They're going to call me this. They're going to call me that. After Quebec, I said, what's the worst that's going to happen? They killed 6 people in the masjid. What's the worst that's going to happen? Already, pretty much the worst happened. And I said, who cares what they say to us? We have to protect lives here. Who cares about reputation? Who cares about money? And that's something that I think a lot of people felt that. It wasn't just me. A lot of people felt that after Quebec. And so it brought out something in us that's really important for us to think about. And when we think about the nature of fitna, the fitan, the Prophet ﷺ, when he said, بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحِ, that he tells us, before he talks to us about fitan of trials and tests, he tells you, بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحِ, do good deeds quickly. Do your good deeds and do them quickly. Because when you do good deeds, you can avert some of the fitan that come later on. And so too many people in our community sometimes are just okay with ignoring reality that surrounds them. Some people have the mentality, I came to this country to have a job and to make money. That's why I came here. So I don't really care about what's happening. I don't care about what's happening in the masjid. I don't care what's happening in the community. I'm just here to make money. That's a mentality a lot of people in our community have. But if we do that, you're going to find out eventually, I promise you, you're going to find out how worthless money is. When you don't have peace and security and dignity, money becomes worthless. Your money is only valuable and will only bring you a better quality of life when you have dignity in your society and you have peace and you have security. And so, we have to be involved and emotionally involved. Sometimes in our community, we're quiet because we're afraid. That I understand. But sometimes we're quiet because we just don't want to be emotionally invested. Sometimes people come to me and they said, you know, I was in square one. This happened not too long ago. In Mississauga, Muslim sister wears hijab. Muslim sister wears hijab in Mississauga. And somebody in the store says, I'm not going to sell to you, you're a Muslim. Denied service. In a city that is full of women wearing hijab. The sister, you got to go to the police and report this. She says, they're not going to do anything. I know they're not going to do anything, but you have to report it so that it's reported. So that there's documentation of it. So that later on when people go to the government and say, hey, you need to do something about this problem, there's data. Otherwise, you don't report it. Then we go to the government and say, hey, there's a problem, you got to do something about it. They say, prove to us there's a problem. I said, sister, you have to report it. They're not going to do anything about it. Someone else, walking with my family through the parking lot, somebody comes and yells all these terrible slurs at me. Brother, please report it. They're not going to do anything. We don't want to be emotionally invested. And so when we don't want to be emotionally invested, we don't put in the effort. We're creating space for these things to happen more and more and more and more. The more organized we are, the more we take these things seriously, the more we're willing to put in the work. Yes, I know that I report this to the police, they probably are not going to do anything, but I'm going to report it anyways. I'm going to push the ball forward, even if all I'm pushing it is 1 inch. I'm going to push it a little bit further. If everybody does that, we'll get a lot further than where we've gotten so far. But alhamdulillah, you know, there have been successes. You know, 4 years ago, some of us went to the government, we said, you need to make this day the day of commemorating Islamophobia, because 6 people died, and this should be something that society doesn't forget. This should be something that we're aware of year after year. And some people told me, people who are connected, they told me to my face, this will never happen. Don't bother asking for it, it won't happen. Alhamdulillah, 4 years later it happened, just yesterday. And that wasn't because one person, it was because lots of people trying to push that forward. Lots of people trying in different ways. Lots of people, lots of organizations, lots of voices, and then we did something eventually as a community that people said was impossible just 4 years ago. And it might not seem like a lot to a lot of people, okay, you made the name Islamophobia for this day, but it helps. And if everybody pushes a little bit, it helps. And you get to the place that eventually we want to get to. And so our brothers who died, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make them amongst the shuhada. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect their families and take care of their children who are now orphans. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to take care of our community as much as possible. We need to be there for each other and support each other and use our voices for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only way we're going to do that is if we are able to unite with each other. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to unite and allow us to become effective in upholding His deen. آمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد اللهم صل على محمد ما ذكره الذاكرون الأبرار وصل عليه ربنا ما تضوع مسكم وفاح صل عليه ربنا صلاة وسلاما دائمين إلى يوم الدين وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أمهات المؤمنين وعلينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك بنا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها وسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين اللهم أحبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون عبد الله قم الصلاة.